Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series, Sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We will hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today we will hear from Nick Nye, who has served as a church planter, church revitalizer, multi-site lead pastor, nonprofit founder, church planting network board member, speaker, leadership coach, and now the leader of For Columbus. And Jess Gatton, Alpha executive and former social worker slash ministry leader, who is passionate about seeing the church co-create with God in the city. Together, they will share about step 8, establishing a strategic plan for ongoing leadership training. The goal of this step is to discover and develop practitioner-level trainings for leaders. Be strategic in your choice of trainings so they further equip leaders to engage in the evangelism vision for the city. Consider trainings that inspire leaders, catalyze action, educate, and develop evangelism skills. How will leaders in your city get better at evangelism? Your E-team alone cannot work with every organization. Developing leaders en masse is a critical strategic pillar of an E-team to multiply your impact. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Jess, Nick, and Chris.
Welcome back to our podcast. We are in step 8 of our adaptable playbook, kind of running through the plays. These are different ways you can raise the temperature of evangelism in your city. And today is a great conversation around how do we work with leaders who have leadership ability, leadership capacity, leadership influence through the city. What is our strategy there? How are we walking with folks? How do we raise the temperature of evangelism through our relational networks with leaders? And so really excited to have the city of Columbus kind of well represented here. Jess Gatton is joining us. She's from Columbus, right? Jess, you're from Columbus, and that's that's a very good thing. But running ministry strategy for Alpha USA. And Alpha's done such a great job of thinking through evangelism culture. It's not just a program, but just like thinking through the culture of how to develop culture. So we're really glad you're here, Jess. And also joined by Nick Nye. So Nick is a great roommate. I mean, Nick, we are roommates in Korea, which is a pretty awesome thing. We'll always have that. But Nick's been a church planner, just a missiologist, somebody who has worked in urban centers like Columbus and New York City, and now leading a citywide gospel movement for Columbus. And so thank you guys both for being here. This is going to be a fun conversation today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And it's always tricky with two people because it's like we both talk at the same time. You know, that's okay. We'll speak over each other a little bit, but that's no problem.
Me and Nick are, you know, we're one mind. So we're going to be running over each other all the time.
Yeah. True. You guys can finish each other's sentences and just roll it. That's great. Well, that comes from trust and working with each other, which is kind of part of the value of the step, I think, which is pretty awesome. But Jess, I'm going to start with a question for you. Just kind of as I mentioned briefly in that introduction, Alpha does a lot of trainings. They do a lot of events. You guys do a lot of different things. I used to run Alpha at our church in Seattle. And it was a great program. It was a great tool. There's a lot of great fruit that came from that tool. But one of the things that it really did was it shifted the culture of our church. I mean, it changed the way that our church saw the world, saw neighbors, saw our space. As you guys are engaging as Alpha USA, just speaking broadly, and we talk about this step number 8, which is, you know, how do we strategically think about our ongoing relationship with leaders? How has your experience in Alpha kind of affect this question? Like, how do you, in your strategic role with Alpha, engage leaders well?
I think it always gets really complicated when you talk about strategy and you talk about developing leaders, because I think Jesus' strategy was, let me show you how. We kind of start with the question at Alpha, who do we want to be? And so then the simple answer as Christians is we want to be like Jesus. And then it's, oh, how did Jesus behave? How did Jesus behave when it came to people who were looking for God, and they didn't even know they were looking for God. And so with evangelism, I think we're trying to really stay true to those values. What did Jesus model for us? And that is our strategy. And that's the things that we always come back to when we're feeling stuck. So hospitality, we're going to set the table. We're going to have happy meals, not like McDonald's happy meals, unless it's the right move for the group. But
yeah,
we're going to have joy-filled meals. We're going to have fun. We're going to make sure that people are treated like they're the most important person in the room when they come. And we're going to listen and we're going to ask curious questions. We saw Jesus listening and asking curious questions over and over and over again in the scriptures. And then finally, we're going to be people of prayer because we do believe that God comes when we ask him to. And so without that kind of underbelly of prayer guiding all of the process, then we just don't think it works. We say Alpha is perfectly designed to fail unless God shows up. And so the dependence on God, the posture of prayer, we believe really makes those three things really set the table for God to come. And so as we think about training, we're always kind of going back to those values. And I think in terms of city work, we wanted to do the same thing. So when we're with leaders, are they experiencing amazing hospitality? Are they being heard? Are they being listened to? And then finally, are we faithfully praying for them and expecting God to not just listen to our prayers, but to answer them and to respond with his presence and his power and his healing? And Columbus is in a season right now where God really is answering decades of prayer, I think, in evangelism as it gets started. But for me, that's in Alpha, that's what we're trying to get back to all the time, at every training in every room. Can we look and act like Jesus in these ways?
Yeah, that's really good. And Nick, you can chime in too. I just had this leadership thought. I think it was Abraham Lincoln, but he said, when you have to make a hard decision, and he made some really hard ones. Yes, I mean, like some really hard decisions. I guess we should go to war. But he was like, you have to drill down to first principles, right? Like you have to go down and say, what's the actual thing that we can stand on and build from? And one of those for Lincoln, right, was just, we have to value the image bearer nature of every human. It's like, if we can't build on that, we're toast. Like, let's go to war. So that idea of building on some foundations, some values is really important. Maybe either of you can speak to this, but how has that played out? Maybe just give an example of that in Columbus, as you guys have been taking this value. I mean, evangelism itself is a value, right? So how have you guys seen that value just start to grow and permeate in ways throughout the city?
Yeah, I think what Jess is saying like resonates with me so much, because one of the things that we're always thinking about is like, what's the end goal here? And we're trying to move people from fracturing to flourishing. So if the end goal is flourishing, then we're looking at the whole person in terms of who they are and soul, body, mind. So then we're looking at like, what does societal flourishing look like? What does relational flourishing look like? And what does spiritual flourishing look like? And so if spiritual flourishing is a huge component of what it means to thrive and flourish, then you have to like bring in this some reasoning and answers into this conversation. You know, it's not like you go and say, I have the answer, but you can go and say, I want a dialogue because I think I know where we can move towards to, you know, fill that base of flourishing through Jesus. And so like there's a lot of conversation that can happen if we really, really hold tightly to that telos, the end goal of human flourishing. And so I think that's really important. And where we see that happening a lot in Columbus is really this call and this constant conversation about human flourishing and just like talking about that as much as possible. And then we start like listing out all of the things that kind of go into that: prayer, discipleship, church planting, and of course evangelism. Like we go out and we share and we talk and we listen and we dialogue and we set tables and those kinds of things. So I think there's a lot. Evangelism isn't always the end goal, it's the human flourishing. And so I think constantly seeing that as a thing out in the city, then it just stirs the water. So again, to be practical about that, you know, where we've seen movement is more and more people are starting to take ownership of, okay, how can I contribute to flourishing? So young people at Ohio State who are grabbing hold of this, starting there's a run club here that turned into like this massive evangelistic push out of just people running together because they saw that telos, that end flourishing, human flourishing. And so I think you're seeing more movement towards that. And then that gives space for a lot of different ideas. You know, the alpha can kind of set the table, or a run club, or you just fill in the blank, whatever you're good at. Let's start a bike club. Let's start a band, whatever. And you can kind of cater that because you're kind of having the end in mind.
Yeah, I think the end in mind and shared dreams.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see God come, and we all pray, let your kingdom come. And we all kind of have different ways of playing that our part in that journey with what God is doing in our cities. And I think, you know, Nick has really allowed people to run in their lanes. And he's not really trying to change anything about the way that people do it, but he is trying to, as we, you know, work together in the city for unity, allow people to run in their lanes, but then bring the best of their values to each other so that we can all work toward the same goal in our little pocket of what that means. I was thinking about when you were just talking, Nick, I was thinking about the first event we did together, which I think was Love Listens at Columbus Vineyard. And Alpha was doing this tour around the US right after COVID, where we were like, people miss being in rooms together. Let's sit down at tables and have some conversation. And I think about that event a lot in our city. This was the first time I think people got in a room together in a really meaningful way after COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was a really special room. Like, it was really hosted really well. Like, there's really amazing food, and it wasn't any kind of alpha show. It was a who's going to show up and what's God going to do inside of these conversations. And I think that was the last event Alpha hosted actually in Columbus. And all of the events since I've experienced as Nick's led them have had hospitality and this amazing experience of you bring yourself to the table and we're going to figure out how to let you run in your lane so that we can be one. And evangelism is a natural byproduct of oneness. It's something you can talk about, but you don't almost need to in the same way. When everybody's together, everybody remembers, like, we're in this for Jesus. We need more people in this for Jesus because the need is so big. And I think that's been just fun to remember. Like, different organizations do their little blip inside the big story, but the big story is something that God's really crafted because he wants human flourishing. He wants city flourishing. Mm-hmm. He wants the kingdom to come. That's the plan that we're all just hitched onto.
Well, I love that, because what you guys are really setting a good foundation for this conversation, because what we're kind of saying is, like, look, if you're going to try to influence leaders in a city, right? We talk a lot about the one to many idea. It's like, we could invite this person, or we could invite this person who knows all these people, you know? And so that there is just kind of a natural, how do you reach a city like Columbus, which is, what is it, Nick? Like, almost 2 million in the greater area. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. 2.5 million.
That's a lot of people. That's a big area. That's a huge area. So this idea of engaging leaders, but engaging them with what? Like, what do you want to actually replicate? So I love the conversation around hospitality. I love the conversation around building friendship. And then I love the conversation around shared values. It's like, yeah, who's going to show up to this alpha thing? We did a Love Listens in Seattle with Christian Downs. It was awesome. But that's kind of it. Like, hey, who actually shares this value of caring about people's spiritual condition in our city? Let's get them together and let's develop that value. Let's let it grow. Let's let it go. It can be really tricky. Nick, I'm going to point at you for this, at least to kick it off, but it can be tricky when working with leaders. One is they're getting sold stuff all the time. Like, they're just constantly barraged with, hey, you should run this program. You should do this thing. Can you sign off? Can you be one of the sponsors? Can your church be a host? Whatever it is, as we're engaging leaders, sometimes it can be tempting to sort of go around the leader, you know, like, hey, if we can just market really well, we don't actually need to have a relationship with a key leader. We're just going to kind of blast their congregation. But why is this disastrous, Nick, a disastrous way of thinking? Like, why should we not go around the leader who might slow things down, ask hard questions, or even just say no? And as you've developed relationships in your city, why is this a critical endeavor?
Yeah, we live in a culture that loves fast. And I love fast. I want to go fast. But I also know that we have to move at the speed of trust. And as the old saying goes, is that I think that was Abraham Lincoln as well. But that actually wasn't him, just in case you were
I think it's fine to attribute any wisdom to Abraham Lincoln. So that's
yeah. But we, you know, I think there's just so much value in us doing it together and just yeah. being a community that does it together and finding, this is where I think good leadership really has to be deployed, where you're not just seeing somebody as in the way or with you, but you're actually seeing opportunity for them to utilize whatever gift they have and whatever way they have and helping, working with them to find ways they can use it. Because some people are not going to do street evangelism in our city. There's a lot of people that's just way, way far away. There's a lot of people that do love that stuff. And so being able to kind of work with these different kind of leaders and say, well, what are you bringing? And can you bring that into another space? And can you have that voice play out in this way? You know, there's a whole church that does street evangelism, which I know is, you know, can be kind of weird and awkward, but it's like, I want to work with their leaders who think that's just a great method and say like that's a method and this is a good thing. Maybe you can go and like you're meeting people on the streets in Sullivan Avenue, which is need. There's a lot of issues in that street and there's a lot of needs that can be met. And so sharing and praying for people is incredible. And then there's the other person is just, I feel more comfortable in my pulpit and, you know, preaching in my pulpit and evangelizing in my pulpit, but I'm not really going out in the streets per se. And maybe there's some value there too, of like, how do you utilize that to, you know, share your faith and mm-hmm. bring that out. And so I think that's the role of like a sort of city movement leadership is just figuring out how do all the parts fit together and how is everybody empowered to work on it together?
Mm. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, go ahead, Jess.
An interesting question I've just been thinking about is to what Nick's saying is, how do you go at the pace of the person? And so at Alpha, we're always talking to churches about, we think Alpha could be amazing for your church. And here's why. Here's all the amazing things it does. But you can't make them go faster than they're ready because you want their heart to be connected to what they're saying yes to. Whether that's you or some your strategy or a different strategy, you want someone's heart to be connected to the thing. Because if I force it, then I don't know, it's uncomfortable. And usually it just doesn't work to meet my goals, right? If it's like, oh, if I need to meet my goals with these relationships, then all of a sudden I'm going to be kind of salesy and pushy. But if I'm trusting that God's going to win the heart for the best play for their team, for their church or their community, then I can share about what I do and then trust that God's going to take them on the journey with me, or they're going to go away that he has best suited for their, mm-hmm. how they're oriented, which is scary. Because we all have mm-hmm. goals and deliverables as leaders, and we want to make things happen. We want to make our mark. We want to do that. But we go past God's pace, then people's hearts aren't in the way that we want them to be ultimately.
Yeah, totally. I remember studying, you know, the first couple of chapters of Acts, and you have Jesus saying, go to Jerusalem and don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. And then it's like, so they picked a new member of the team. And it's kind of like, wait, you weren't supposed to do anything. And so then you went and made a big leadership decision. And then we never hear from that person again. And then shortly after that, like Paul arrives. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, shoot, maybe we should have just waited a little bit. Or like, I mean, who knows? Hopefully Matthias was just an amazing person. We don't know. But that idea of kind of pushing something, I love that idea that their heart needs to be connected to the yes. The Lord is working in hearts and, you know, we may just need to be patient, you know? I think it's a really good principle to bring into the conversation. Part of this step in terms of the adaptable playbook is like, what's a way we could kind of train and equip leaders like in an ongoing way? Do we do an annual summit? Do we do a quarterly pastor gathering? You know, like how do you hold those values and those tensions, that willingness to be patient, that willingness to build trust in relationships, but also just like you have something you're trying to do, like, and in the case of an E-team, right, you're trying to raise the temperature of evangelism in a city, encourage people to think evangelistically. How does this play out practically when you're thinking through the calendar, the budget? I mean, just kind of as you guys are thinking out loud, like Alpha does do trainings, For Columbus does do summits and events. I went to one of your recent ones, Nick. It was awesome. It was really well done. How does that play out practically to hold those values in place, but also to put some stuff on the calendar? Like, how's that tension play out?
There's got to be intentionality. And we have had events like what Jess mentioned with our earlier partnership with Alpha doing an event after COVID. That was like a really powerful, very focused kind of gathering for us as a city. But almost every kind of leadership meeting that we have, which we have that annual leader summit, we have some flair or flavor or some kind of deposit around what evangelism, you know, some just presented this year on what the state of evangelism and kind of where we are. And we've constantly tried to like put the number in some ways out there of like, where are we as a city in terms of people who self-proclaim as Christian or, you know, people who are curious. And we try to put those numbers out there, you know, as slow drips regularly. And so it's not just about, you know, an event. But the other thing we do is we run, I don't know, about 30 plus networks across the city that have a lot of different focus, different neighborhoods, different causes like anti-human trafficking or even affordable housing and things like that. And we inject like some training when we do the training for network leaders around just like the thing that's unique about this movement that we're working on is we're trying to bring in not just the good deeds, but the good news. And so we're constantly bringing that into our training and how that happens. And so, we hosted a cohort with about 30 different nonprofits in the city. And we talked a lot about discipleship and evangelism with those nonprofits who are, you know, food pantries and ESL centers and those kinds of things, so that they're thinking about, oh yeah, like I want to help and serve with my hands, but I also can talk and share my soul with them and share my faith with them and talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we've really tried to just, you know, steep it into everything we do. And, we've like our E teams has kind of had some like chunky starts and stops where we've tried to figure out how it works, but we've kind of found this sweet spot where we're like, okay, maybe the idea of an E-team can just be more like, how do we permeate everything we do with this idea of sharing as we go and making that a part of the DNA of all of our leaders.
And I think that has felt really good. Maybe it didn't feel good when we were kind of trying to like keep gathering, keep meeting, do the thing. We were just trying to kind of fit around peg into a square hole a little bit with different leaders and different styles. But I'd say the spirit, the good of meeting together was everybody getting on the same page. We're like, we want to see evangelism grow in our city. So that's like all, we all want that. Mm-hmm. And we're all okay with the different ways that that's going to have to happen so that all 2.5 million people get to know Jesus, right? So it's like a blessing over all of the different ways that we show up to do this work that God has commissioned us to do. And then Nick has been really strategic and faithful to put evangelism inside of every conversation. So what would happen very practically is like, say I would speak at one of his leader summits. Often a nonprofit or a church would come up to me after and invite me to speak to their leaders about becoming an active listener in evangelism, how to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to the person to start asking curious questions rather than in a more apologetic approach. Now, that's not what is right for every ministry, but for people who are picking up women who are being rescued out of human trafficking situations, the right posture is a listening posture. And so how do we equip people to listen to what God's doing in the life of that person and on a car ride home to take them to safety? So I think those were the moments where it's like, if the way that we've decided to do it is a good fit, then I'll show up and help your team grow in their ability to do evangelism in this way. But if this isn't the right play for your community, then who is? And so that, I would say that spirit has really remained. And there was a man who was leading the E-team a couple of years ago, Jean-Paul. He just made sure, remember, we're going to go farther when we're together. We might not go faster, but we're going to go farther. And so I think that value has really stuck among the group of people. And then, yeah, we get to show up in the space that makes most sense. And say yes to whatever space doesn't make sense for us.
I think the idea of as we go farther and for sure slower, right? Like every person you add to the conversation, it's going to slow you down in some ways, but you're also bringing a whole set of gifts, a whole set of relational networks and relational connections and all kinds of things to the table. But that intentionality, I think, is really important. And there is a leadership principle too, right? To this idea of you can't go so slow in waiting for everyone that you never go, right? So like the idea that you still have to go though, like we're still going to go for it. We're still going to move. And if your heart's not in yet, that's fine. Like, but we're going to keep going. And maybe it's in us going that your heart will see what it is and want to jump in or whatever. But I think that's really good. I mean, you guys have given us a lot of good stuff to chew on. I mean, I'm thinking about just kind of in recap, like what exactly are we replicating is kind of what I'm hearing from you. Like, if we want people to function this way as they're out sharing the good news, maybe we should function this way in the way that we're working with you. Like, maybe we should be hospitable with you, the leader. Maybe we should be a good listener of you, the leader. Maybe we should try to build intentionally with you, the leader, a relationship as we're wanting you to be as hopeful as we are about sharing the good news of Christ to our city. I think embodying those values, you guys have done really well in Columbus. And a lot of times we sell a product. I think it's much better to embody the value. And I think you guys have done that really well. So as we're kind of thinking through this for an E-team, it's like, get some stuff on the calendar, but then embody what you hope to see, right? Like, I love that good food was mentioned. Like, have some good food. Like, have some good hangout time. Make sure you're articulating some of the key values and what you want to do. And I love, Nick, the way that you've been able to infuse that value, not just with a couple of people on an E-team, but actually just in all the different sectors of the city with your marketplace guys and your housing guys and everything else. I think this is just really wise thinking in terms of engaging your city. Any other kind of final thoughts for us as we're kind of wrapping up this conversation? You know, it's important to know that when you're working with leaders are usually pretty thoughtful people. They're usually pretty strategic people, which is why, for whatever reason, they've kind of shuffled their way up to being leader in leadership, right? Like, and so they're not going to be duped probably as easily. They're not going to be, you know, tricked. Like, let's honor that wisdom and leadership skill that they have by really giving them something of value to join. But last words of wisdom, Jess or Nick, just any thoughts that maybe we've missed in the conversation so far?
Well, I was going to add, just to kind of be practical for people who are really processing this, we have actual tools, you know, that we use. A lot of what we talked about is sort of like, you know, ethos and like can be a little bit nebulous. And you're like, wait, oh, so what does that mean? So we have like practical things that you can do or help people move towards. We have a whole evangelism training called the Art of Evangelism. We have Alpha, who is, you know, we believe is one of the best tools that you can use, and it, you know, culture shaping tools. And so I think you have to be able to pull some of those in. There's Search Ministries that does really great evangelism with business people and marketplace people. There's these kind of tools that exist in our city, and we've pulled them and we plug them in when they need to be plugged in. And so I think somebody who's listening and processing this and thinking, oh gosh, that feels so theoretical and sort of vague. I think you do need those tools, and you do need to implement them as wisely and as much as you possibly can. Cause I think that's a really easy way to kind of move the ball forward. And instead of just like, you know, talk, you know, we're talking about vision and we're talking about evangelistic mm-hmm. kind of fervor, but there's actual things like, hey, run Alpha and or run this little one-off training for a handful of your leaders or whatever. There's a lot of different ways you can move about.
Agree. I think something I was thinking about as we've been talking, it's Nick and I have a lot of shared vision for the city that isn't exactly the same, right? It's, we're different people, but there is a kindredness. And when you find those people, you should be friends with them. Even if you can't see each other a lot because you're running in your own lanes. So you need people to run in their lanes without having to have a ton of touch, because relational touch, because there's so much work to do. And it's like, oh, what, once a year at the summit, we both know what we're showing up for. We both know what we're trying to do in the city, but it doesn't have, you don't have to deliberate it on all the time. And with these kind of adjacent, you know, we're both in ministries where it's not about what we're doing. It's about Alpha is supposed to exist for the church to thrive. So that evangelism, meet people, encounter the person of Jesus, and then get connected to their local church. And then Fort Columbus is doing the same thing. It's so that the city thrives. And it's really not about, we're friends. We talk about this, like our ministries are friends to the things that God is doing. And finding people that you can run with like that, where you will help things move without having to put something on the calendar all the time and do something all the time. Because most people who are leading at the kind of level that God's calling his leaders to lead in need to be present to the work. And so that God's put in front of them. So that's also nebulous, but I think that if you're in a city or you're in a space where you're like, I don't know if I'm running with anybody, or who do I get? Who gets me? I would just start asking God that question and start to really highlight those people for you, because that more happens than we even in this conversation. I felt like, wow, God's done a lot. I feel grateful. And that is with intention, but it's also with people being faithful to the work before them that God has put before them. So I think that's something that people really do need to have in their lives. People who you're going after the same thing, and you trust that the other person is doing the thing that they're said yes to. You're doing the thing that you said yes to.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, it's kind of the whole idea of like, the soldier is really fighting for the guy on the right and left, you know, like there might be a big reason, a big political reason, a big justice reason, but at the end of the day, like you're fighting for that guy on your left and your right. So who are you running with, and how do you develop that in your city? I mean, that's why we love the idea of an E-team, just at a basic level. It's like, what if there were some people running with this as a key value in their city, and how does that grow in the city? And really well said. I think that's the way to do it. I really appreciate you guys just sharing your wisdom and just the great work that's been done already in Columbus and through Alpha. Jess and Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Nick, I'm wondering if you could just close us with a short prayer just for people as they're discerning this, thinking about this for their own city, E-teams now around the country who are just thinking about how to do this well. We thank you for offering some wisdom, but why don't you just close us with a quick prayer, Nick? Thanks.
Yeah, Lord, thank you for just being a God who loves humanity and wants to invite us into life with you, all of us. And so we pray, Father, that more and more people would catch this vision that you have and walk it out, and just drawing people to yourself and showing people who you are. And I pray, God, that every city would have this embodiment that we can see as Tim Keller would always say, like, we see the population of Christianity growing faster than the population of the city. And we pray that more and more people in cities all over the world would just wrestle with this vision and this idea of how do we really increase the temperature of evangelism in our city. And so we're grateful to get to have this conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the resources shared in this podcast, or to download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. Join us next time for a conversation with two city leaders who have deep insight on step 9, establishing a strategic plan to train everyday believers.